Hey Mac Geeks, it's Friday, February 4th, 2005. This is your MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geek. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. Alright, I just have a ton of stuff to get through today, so I am going to dive right in and kind of feed you this stuff pretty quick, and we'll see where it goes from there. Alright, I wanted to comment a little bit more on G5 PowerBooks. We mentioned on the last cast that Apple came out and said basically the reason there are no G5 PowerBooks yet is that while it's technically possible for them to put one out, it would be a cumbersome looking, thick, you know, not sleek Apple design that we're used to type machine. And I saw a funny picture over on Engadget.com where they referenced the CNET news article that kind of talks a little bit more about this, of a G5 PowerBook. It's in the show notes and it's posted up on the web blog at maccast.com if you want to take a look at it. But it's a mocked up G5 PowerBook that's about probably 3 or 4 inches thick. It's pretty funny to take a look at, and it's probably what we would see if Apple tried to cram a G5 and all the cooling necessary into a PowerBook case. So not really what you want to see, but it does mention that the CNET news article discusses a new process that IBM is working on called strained silicon that's supposed to make the G5 PowerBooks a reality. No word on what the time frame for it is, but quote from the article is a new chip making process using something called strained silicon promises to produce a less power hungry G5 chip that will make a PowerBook G5 a reality. The new process allows the CPU's transistors to be sped up, improving clock time without requiring more power. So there you have it. Like I mentioned, Apple is working on it. We know they are. You know, they want to get out a G5 PowerBook just as much as we want to buy them. Obviously, they want to sell a lot of machines. So look for those sometime, hopefully this year. You know, I hope to see them this year. That would be great for Apple. You know, maybe as early, if we could get them this summer, oh man, that would just be awesome. Sales would just go through the roof. I know a lot of you are out there waiting for them. Personally, I have a white PowerBook G4 iBook, a 933 megahertz machine, and I absolutely love it. I've never had a problem with it, and it's just a great machine. That's one of the reasons why I think the fact that the Mac Mini having a G4 isn't really a problem, because you know, my iBook for light duty uses, for what I use it for, including recording this podcast, it does great. I've even edited, you know, iMovies. If you're not a power user, you know, needing to run Final Cut Pro or heavy Photoshop work, you know, a G4 processor will get you along just fine, and I don't think you'll have any complaints. Okay, so we know Apple's been gearing up their Super Bowl ads coming up on Sunday. The ads have actually been leaked. I just saw this over at Different District. We've talked about Different District before, but I have links from the show notes to two of the ads. The first ad is what Pepsi's calling the Pepsi Bottles or Bottle Songs campaign, and it's basically a bunch of popular music that you'll see people opening Pepsi bottles, and the music is emanating from the Pepsi bottles, and they have them in some funny situations. There's one where there's a band playing music in a garage. They knock the Pepsi bottle over, and it's like they're lip-syncing to the song, so it's kind of funny. And then the second ad is actually featuring Gwen Stefani and Eve with a song called Rich Girl. And they actually make an appearance at the end of the ad. So if you want to see those before the Super Bowl, head over to maccast.com, check out the show notes for this show, and there's direct links to the ads over at differentdistrict.com. So going up directly against Apple on the Super Bowl commercials is, you know, our old pals over at Napster. They are, I don't know if you've heard, but they have a new service poised and ready to go that's going to be a all-you-can-download type service. The catch, though, is that it's $15 a month. You can download as many songs as you want from Napster.com, but two things. One, they're in WMA format, so Microsoft format, and they're encrypted, obviously. But the other thing is that you have to plug in your machine or your MP3 device once a month, And it's going to check to make sure that you're still a subscriber or you're still paying your $15 a month. Otherwise, all your music will stop playing. And I think I've read that it will only, for $15 a month, it'll only sync with one device. So you have to pick one MP3 player device to use with the service, although I haven't confirmed that. If anybody knows whether that's true or not, please let me know. But basically, Napster's commercial, they're going to, you know, directly target Apple. And I'll read you off kind of what the spot is. In Napster's 30-second ad in the third quarter, viewers will see a camera pan the stands at a Super Bowl-like game, and you'll see a bunch of shirtless, you know, rowdy fans with Napster spelled across their stomachs. And then when the final shot comes up, you'll see the Napster cat, and he'll hold up a sign that says, "Do the math. How much will it cost to fill up your player?" So they're basically targeting the fact that if you need 10,000 songs at 99 cents a song, you know, to fill up your MP3 player, you're going to be paying $10,000. But I don't know, at $15 a month, you guys tell me what you think. I think it's stupid to think that, you know, yeah, I can get as much music as I want, but I have to pay $15 a month for life if I want to continue to listen to it. And the minute I stop playing, you're going to take all your music away from me. So it's, you know, they're doing some sort of hybrid subscription, but it's not a subscription type model because you can, you know, download the music and you can own it, but you don't really own it. You're renting it. So personally, I like to buy my music. I don't want to rent it. All right, tonight we have a special new feature on the MacCast. We got our first user to send in an MP3 audio review. Paul Spradling sent in a review of the Olympus VN120 PC digital voice recorder. So I'll let him tell you the details. It runs about 6 minutes, and then I'll make some comments at the end of it.
Hello, MacGeeks. From Montevideo, Uruguay, this is Paul Spradling, and I'm proud to bring you the first ever user review on the MacCast. Today, I'll be reviewing an Olympus Digital Voice Recorder VN120 PC. I never really thought about buying a voice recorder, but I got this for my birthday from my uncle last November. I decided to not open it so I could return it and get an iTalk because this has only 60 megabytes, and with the iTalk, I can hook it up to my 20 gig iPod. But I forgot to return it, so I opened it, and I really liked it. First of all, it's small, lightweight. You could carry it around everywhere. And I ended up taking it to school because I used to use a very bulky Palm M130. And it was bulky, but it was also very slow to type in all my homework because I had to use a virtual keyboard or the keystrokes. With this recorder, which is even smaller, I could record whole classes or just my homework instantly with my voice, which is even faster than normal writing. On the front of the device, there's a small screen, kind of like the one on my iPod, but a little smaller. There's also a play, pause, a back, and a next button. There's also buttons to enter the settings and to erase tracks. On the top is a microphone. There's also two ports to connect an external microphone and an external headphone. It also comes with an external microphone. It's a very little one, like the one they use on TV shows, or that you clip on a t-shirt or something. It also comes with headphones. On the right side of the device is the volume knob, so you can adjust the volume when playing back recordings. There's also a USB port. On the left, there's a hold switch and a pen-like clip, so you can clip it on. A very cool feature that it has is three folders named A, B, and C. So, for example, I could record my homework on folder A and some interviews for a project on folder B, and some memos and phone numbers on folder C. I mentioned that it has only 16 megabytes of memory, but that gives you up to 2 hours of recording, because there are three different modes for three different quality of recording. There's HQ, SP, LP. The HQ gives you 45 minutes of recording. The SP gives you 1 hour. And the LP, which is what you can notice lower quality, is 2 hours. Also, you can adjust the sensitivity of the microphone. You can set it to low or to high. Let's say, for example, I'm in a large room full of people, very noisy. If I set it to low, the microphone will only record what is close to it. So if I'm using it as a recorder next to my mouth, it'll only record my voice and very little background noise. If I set it to high, it would actually record every sound in the room. So it depends on what use you're going to give it. You can also use it as an alarm clock, because you can set it to play back a certain recording on a certain time. So, okay, one of my favorite features is VCVA. I'm not sure what it stands for, but what it does is it'll pause recording when there's no sound. So say I'm recording right now and I pause and then I continue to talk. The player will pause recording when there's silence, and that is really cool to save memory in this device. Now for a demo. Let me get my recorder. I will press record. This is the MacCast, the show for Mac geeks by a Mac geek. Okay, I'll press play.
This is the MacCast, the show for Mac geeks by a Mac geek.
You can also speed up and slow down the timings of the recording. For example,
this is the MacCast, the show for Mac geeks by a Mac geek.
Or fast. But there's something very, very wrong about this player, about this recorder. It does come with a USB port and USB cable, but there's no support for Macintosh. None at all. I tried hooking it up, opening iPhoto, opening iTunes. I tried emailing Olympus. I tried Google, but so far it seems like there's no support for Macintosh. So you won't be able to transfer tracks from the recorder to your Mac. Okay, we're coming to an end. The pros: it's small, it's lightweight, it has decent recording times, it's cheap, and it has an external microphone and headphones, file organization, and VCVA. And the cons: no Macintosh support. You can get this from www.olympus.com for $39.99 US dollars. Okay, now for the spraddling meter. I will give this product an 8. Again, from Montevideo, Uruguay, South America for those who don't know, I am Paul Spraddling, and thank you all for listening. Back to you, Adam.
All right. Thanks, Paul. So there you have a very detailed review of the Olympus VN120PC digital voice recorder. I wanted to give you guys a couple details or make some comments on that review. Just so you know, the three sample rates of the different qualities, the high quality is 16 kilohertz, the SP quality is 10.6 kilohertz, and the long play quality is only 5.75 kilohertz. So the sample rates aren't that great on the Olympus 120 device, but probably good enough for day-to-day use, not really good enough for doing something like a podcast. I do want to mention that they actually do have Mac software, or I believe they do. I went over to the website, and they make something called the DDS Player for Mac OS X, and it's available for download from Olympus.com's support area. DDS is the native format that the recorder plays in. And if you want to get it to another format, I read on some online forums, basically what you have to do is you can use their software to convert the DDS to WAV, and then just use something like QuickTime Pro to convert the WAV into whatever format you actually need. But if you're looking for a device, I was interested in this review because I was looking for a device for doing podcasting. And the Olympus, what's great about it is it's only $40, $39.99, I think Paul mentioned. So great price on that. But if you're looking for something a little higher level, something that maybe you can actually record a podcast with, something that's really important is that you have the ability to record at a 44.1 kilohertz sample rate and at something better than, you know, like 8 kilobits a second, something more like 32 or 64 kilobits. And Olympus just announced they have a new DS2 device coming out that looks like it'll be ideal for podcasting. It's got 64 megabytes of storage. It's priced out at $149.99, I think is the suggested retail price. And these are the sampling rates. It has a super high quality, which is 44.1 kilohertz at 128 kilobits per second. And then there is the next level down is 44.1 kilohertz at 64 kilobits per second. And then they go to 44.1 at 32 kilobits a second. And then 12 kilohertz at 13.7 kilobits a second. And then they have a long play option that's 8 kilohertz at 6.3 kilobits per second. So great sampling rates on that. And I might actually check one out because I want something to do sort of podcasts on the go, do interviews when I'm out and about, and potentially something I think would be great is a lot of times I have ideas and I'm not able to write them down, so I could record quick segments for the MacCast and record them as I think of them rather than having to do it late at night here. So check out those digital voice recorders, and if you know of a device or any Mac-related software or hardware that you'd like to do a review of, please, by all means, record it, put it on an MP3 file, send it to matcast@gmail.com, and we'll get it on the podcast. I want to make this, as I've mentioned many times in the past, a full community-type podcast. I want participation from everybody, so you guys don't just have to listen to me drone on about this stuff. Go ahead and jump in, get involved. It's like what we're doing with our music artists, and you too can contribute, and I'd appreciate it. So I wanted to comment on something and kind of give a little bit of my apologies. Many of you have probably noticed on the last few podcasts, I got a flu like a couple weeks ago or a week and a half ago, and I've still got some residual cold behind it. So if you hear me sniffling or, kind of this nasally voice, I have to apologize for it, but just bear with me. I'm trying to do the best I can to get better, and hopefully my voice will clear up. Saw an interesting article online, and I've linked to it to the show notes for those of you who might be interested in overclocking your Mac Mini. Obviously, this would be a process that would totally void your warranty, so do it at your own risk. But there's an article online that shows you a guy actually took his 1.25 gigahertz Mac Mini and upped it to a 1.42. So he got the 1.42 for the cheaper price, I guess, in the end. But obviously, like I said, at your own risk, it'll void your warranty. There is a link directly from the show notes. So go to maccast.com to get that. Last comment on our calling contest. Last week I said the eighth person to call the hotline at 206-222-2788 and tell me the sixth track on John Hoskinson's CD, Miscellaneous Heathen, would win a free copy of his CD. Apparently, there were some technical difficulties with the phone line, and I know that some of you actually might not want to call due to long-distance charges and stuff like that. We haven't had our eighth caller yet, so I'm going to go ahead and open it up to emails. So if you email me that information, the eighth person to email me that information is going to get a copy of the CD. And like I said, I'll send it anywhere in the world. So if you're an international listener, don't be afraid to participate. Send me the name of that sixth track, and we'll get that CD off to you. All right, that's the show for tonight. Visit the show's website, matcast.com, for the full show notes. Send me email, send me audio comments. We're going to close out the show with another artist from Sweden. His name is Slide, and this track is called Superhero. All right, thanks, you guys. Have a good night or good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are, and I will see you next time.
If that's your weakness, having a mortal man for a friend. My little superhero.